Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. Are you getting ready for the long holiday weekend? It's the unofficial start to the summer season of outdoor barbecues. Ooh-wee! Whether you are doing a little something for the family or having a big blowout, we're here to help you and to make sure it's done deliciously right. My guests tonight are LaTanya Holland, co-owner of Lefty's Barbecue and Lefty Spices, and Reggie Jones, owner of Big Reggie's Barbecue. They're answering our questions and yours. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. LaTanya, thanks for joining the program.
Hello, Harold. Thank you for having Lefty's.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Reggie, good to see you, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Hi, LaTanya. How you doing?
Hey, Reggie. I'm good. Thank you.
I'm all right.
Well, look, before we get into the food, the first thing that we always talk about when we have these conversations, and it's really, really important, is making sure you've got the best preparation before you start cooking. LaTanya, talk to me a little bit about cleaning. Kind of give me the ABCs of making sure that that grill is clean, whether it's propane or charcoal.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I just strictly deal with charcoal, propane. I'm sure they have chemicals out here or substances that you can use to clean it. You could probably also clean it with vinegar and water. But when we clean the charcoal grill here at Lefty's, of course, we use a hard Brillo brush and, of course, spray water on it. That's it. You know, we use a dry rag to dry it off.
Old school.
Simple, easy.
Old school with
old
the charcoal.
Exactly.
Look,
exactly.
Yeah, look, no shade to those propane folks out there, but
not at all.
Yeah, but I feel you on that. You know, Reggie, why is it so important to make sure that grill is clean?
Man, you definitely want to clean it because it's all about that quality of that taste in your food. Nobody wants to have that undesirable taste in their food after you prepared it and put great seasoning on it. Cleaning is so important. Just to bounce off what LaTanya was saying earlier, I'm a big charcoal and mixture of different flavor woods, cherry, oak. All woods have different kind of burning characteristics, but you got to get some of that creosote type texture off your grill, whether it's on the top of the hood or on the grill grate, and you want to clean it once in a while. Heat it up, brush it off. Gas grill is easy. Heat it up, brush it off, soap and water, you're good to go.
When you say heat it up, because I I'm guilty of this, that I did not clean my grill after the last barbecuing that I did last year. I closed it. I put the cover on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what kind of science project is growing on right now.
Just remember, heat kills a lot. Sometimes when I go to some of my events, you'll see me special with charcoal. Just heat up the grill grate. Really heat it up. Get it around, you know, close to 275, 300. Let it cook for a while. Get that brush. Brush it off. A lot of times if you heat it up over, you know, close to 400, you'll start to see the ash on the grill grate, which is cool. You break it off, lightly scrape it, and oil it, you know, with spray Pam, or take your some type of rag with some type of oil and kind of go back over it, because if not, you'll meet a stick to it. But you'll start to develop that technique as you cook more and more using your grill, you know.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We have barbecue tips for you from the experts. If you have a comment, if you have a question, we're talking about all kinds of meats, and we're going to talk about little, you know, vegetables. We're going to talk about seasoning. Although I promised my guests that we are not giving away any family secrets, but they'll have a little something for you beyond salt and pepper. I hope. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Okay, LaTanya. So at Lefty's, how do you light your grill? I have those chimneys, but I remember as a kid that they used to use the, you know, the lighter fluid and the matches and everything. And, you know, I always thought, if your food didn't taste like lighter fluid, it just it wasn't right.
You're right.
You know, but LaTanya, we know better now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Of course, we use Kingsford charcoal. And before in the morning, we just go ahead and make sure that the ashes are cleaned out. And then, of course, we put some wood in our grill, roughly about, I don't know, see, we have a huge grill, so I would say roughly about maybe three pounds of charcoal, light it up, making sure that when you light it up with lighting fluid or douse it with lighting fluid, making sure that your coals are white before we start putting our wood, because we also use hickory wood.
Why does that make a difference?
Oh, because it will definitely burn better, definitely. Especially if you have wood, if you're cooking it with wood, you want to make sure you have that intense heat when it comes to placing that wood on top of your charcoal.
Mm-hmm. What about lighting for you, Reggie? Because as I said, I have these two chimneys. I light them on the side on the concrete, in the backyard, and I bring it in. But I must admit, although it hasn't happened for me, I can see how some of this stuff can be kind of dangerous.
Yeah, you got to just, you know, definitely, you know, have best practices when you light it. I like the chimney now. I used to use the light, and my trick with lighter fluid is if you spray your coals with lighter fluid, if you wait just 1 minute, put a timer on, wait 1 minute, that will soak through the charcoal. You can actually put your hand close to the charcoal, light it, and it won't just combust very fast. What people do, they spray the lighter fluid, throw the match in immediately afterwards, and it's out of control. The chimney is the safest way to go. At Home Depot, any of your big box stores, they have this tumbleweed, little straw.
Oh, yeah.
Stick it under there, light it, forget about it. You know, you can try to use some ball-up newspaper, but it doesn't burn and get the coals going. I get a box of those. I think it's like 20, 25 tumbleweeds inside. Forget about it. By the time you go prep your food, come back out, your chimney, all your coals are white, dump them. Add more if you need to. It's a safe way to do it. Mm-hmm. So gas, as you know, is just easy. Just cut on and just go. But I do that now because it's easy for me and it's less work. You know what I mean?
Now both of you have barbecue businesses. But, you know, I want to go back to something you said earlier, LaTanya. Like I said, you know, no shade to the propane folks. But in your mind, LaTanya, what is the difference between the quality of the barbecue for propane versus charcoal?
Well, the propane is not going to give you that flavor profile that you're looking for. Just like Reggie mentioned earlier, with charcoal, you can go with, with the wood grill, you can go with pecan wood, you can pretty much cherry wood, apple wood, any type of wood. With the propane, it's not as flavorful. Your food is not going to have that heightened flavor profile that, you know, you should have when you have a barbecue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, like I said, no shade to folks who have that propane grill. I know that it's easier to clean. I know that it's easier to control your heat. But for that flavor profile, definitely recommend the charcoal.
Yeah. You know, I remember my father had bought a propane grill a couple of I don't know, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, and I went by the house, and I looked at it, and I did the sign of the cross, because I, at that point...
it's scary to light it. It's scary. I know.
You know.
It's scary.
And I said, you know, what did you do? He said, well, I just thought I'd try something new. I said, stick to the old school.
I agree, man. I still have that fear of lighting gas grills, because you don't know. You know, you hope. You know, a lot of people do bad practice. They'll light them, cut the gas on with the top down. Open the top up, please. Open the top up.
And I think, Reggie, you make a good point, because for those who do have propane grills, it's my understanding that if you shut it down in the fall, you need to make sure that you check it before you bring it back up late spring, summer.
Right. I've had partners of mine to call me and say, man, I'm ready to throw this gas grill away. And sometimes from one season to the next, sometimes because of the temperature change, you get a little air pocket in your hose. And they don't know how to bleed the hose. Man, this is no good. And I go, and all you have to do is take your propane connector to the tank, put it on, open it up. When you release it, you hear a little air.
You hear a hiss.
Yeah. Hiss. Mm-hmm. Do it a couple of times. It will bleed the line. Because that air pocket, sometimes that gas ain't strong enough, believe it or not, just to push it. Or if it do push it, it gets stuck somewhere in there. And the gas won't come through. Mm-hmm. And it won't light. So it's little tricks like that. Knowing your equipment and knowing what you have to do to your equipment to get your equipment working is key.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about getting you ready to do your barbecue this weekend deliciously right. Let's go to Honesty, calling from Virginia. Honesty, thanks for calling. I like that name. What's on your mind?
Well, just to touch on something that he said, you know, with the air pockets and this and that, it's probably your regulator that's bad. As far as the air pockets, because, I mean, the gas is used in the city for cooking all around. So, but to get back to gas versus charcoal, I can give you the same flavor with gas that I can with charcoal. I can just put a couple pieces of wood in there to get some smoke going. But other than that, back to barbecue. Barbecue is, the definition of barbecue is any meat cooked over an open flame.
Mm-hmm.
So when you shut that lid and you go back to 170 and you leave your meat on there for 10 or 12 hours and everybody loves, you know, oh my God, the brisket and the bark, that's smoking meat. It's just like the bacon that you use in the morning. It's a cold smoked bacon. It's cold smoked and you cook it. That's not barbecue. Barbecue is any meat cooked on one flame. I don't care, rabbit, squirrel, pork, it doesn't matter. You have to tend your meat, and you're constantly turning it, putting out the flame, and the flavor comes from the meat dripping from the juice down onto the flame. Mm-hmm. If you are going to use charcoal, you should use real wood charcoal and not briquette. Because if you watch Modern Marvels, the way they make them, you'll never use it again.
Hmm.
But truthfully, the carcinogens, that bark, is bad for you. It's cancer, like times 10.
Right, I will say, and I've heard that, and we could have a complete debate on whether or not people should eat barbecue, and some of the, you know, the health effects of that, honesty, honestly. But I will say when, you know, Latanya, mentioned, you know, Kingsford, for example, what are your thoughts? And thank you, honestly, for your phone call. Latanya, what do you think about his point about wood versus charcoal briquettes? I mean, you're a professional. You've been using them for years and years.
Well, let me say this. I don't know. Professional is kind of light on my end because, again, my father is actually Lefty, who is the professional.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to the charcoal and the wood, it's just something that gets us started quickly.
Right.
The charcoal, that is mm-hmm. what I'm mentioning. then when, again, when those coals are high, then that's when we put the wood on.
Uh-huh.
But I can't really honestly say what Honesty had mentioned earlier about
the carcinogens.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I will ask, are you all adding rabbit and squirrel to the menu for the weekend?
That's an acquired taste. That's an acquired taste.
Add some possum right on top of it.
Of course. Not opossum, but some possum.
Right.
There's a difference. Add some possum. Look, we are talking. Oh, my gracious. I'm never going to look at a squirrel in my front yard the same way again. I got a gangster squirrel that shows up on my front porch every day jumping at me. Maybe I'll threaten him.
Right.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about barbecue. We're talking to the experts. When we come back, Cynthia from Maryland, we're going to talk to you, so please don't hang up. And we're also going to talk about our barbecue experts' favorite dishes. Do and do not do on the grill. I've got so much to talk about. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. More of this conversation on Sirius XM, Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking barbecue tips for the holiday weekend. My experts are here to help you and to make sure that it's done deliciously right. My guests are LaTanya Holland, co-owner of Lefty's Barbecue and Lefty's Spices, and Reggie Jones, owner of Big Reggie's Barbecue. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Let us go back to the phone line. Cynthia calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Cynthia. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Not quite full like I feel I should be. Getting a little hungry, but I'll survive. What's on your mind?
Well, you're in the right place. Let me just say that I have definitely had the experience of devouring Big Reggie's barbecue.
Uh-oh.
Okay? And when I'm saying perfectly smoked rib, and he actually does this fried rib, and I cannot get the taste out of my head. So I do have a question. I wanted to ask both, in terms of grilling vegetables, which is better, whether you use your grill for your gas grill or your charcoal? Which is better for smoking vegetables? What do you suggest?
It doesn't matter. Hey, what's up, Cent? I hear that voice. Yeah, it doesn't matter. They got these new little, I want to say, pans with a bunch of perforated holes in them that you can put on the grill.
Oh.
And you can season whatever vegetables you want, put it on the charcoal grill or the gas grill. It's all about your flavor that you want to do. And I like these kind of trays that they got. They look like square little dishes with a bunch of holes in them. Man, mix them up, seasoning, whatever seasonings you like, throw them on the grill, and cook them how you want to cook them. My favorite thing is asparagus on the grill. It just have a lot of flavor.
Okay. Mm. All right.
Well, there you go.
That will go perfect. Thank you very much.
Cynthia, thank you for your phone call. Okay, so let's get down to the nitty-gritty. LaTanya, when you're not working, when you're doing it for family and friends, what is your go-to barbecue choice? Steak, fish, chicken, specifically, what is it that's your favorite?
Well, when it comes to grilling with the family, we pretty much, I guess my favorite is the ribs. And I must say that, I guess because since we own a restaurant, we pretty much smoke the ribs first here at the restaurant. And then from there, we take it to wherever location and, of course, continue to smoke them at the on their grill, family grill. and take it from there. And just making sure the meat is falling off the bone. I love it when you have, of course, your ribs wet. We don't do it here at the restaurant. We don't grill it with the barbecue sauce on it. But when you have that, you know, at home or wherever your location is, it's just a flavor profile. Again, I'm all about that flavor. It's just so good, especially when you have Lefty's barbecue sauce on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nice. Just caramelizing it on the meat.
When you
and making sure you don't have it over direct heat. Now you want to make sure it's on indirect heat.
So take me through the whole smoking thing. If you, and this is for people who don't have smokers. I'm taking it all the way back to just, you know, some of the basics. I've seen some of the smokers in the big box hardware stores, and I am just not ready to spend $400 or $500 on a smoker. I'm not doing it.
You don't have to have it. You don't have to have that old grill.
Yeah, I want to do it on my grill.
Yeah, if you got a any size grill, and this is how you do it. And it's all indirect. You can make a little small, have a small pile of charcoal. The perfect smoking temperature, but to be honest, is around 125, 150, 175.
Okay, that's low.
That's real low.
Yeah.
Because that's what smoking is. Because if you want to give that smoke flavor first, you make a little small pile. You light the coals. You put your wood on top, and then you add more charcoal on top of that, and that's when the smoke will come. And then you smoke it for how much, I mean, you know, hour, maybe hour and a half, whatever your desire is. My favorite woods are cherry, mesquite, apple, and hickory. I use all four.
Do you soak your chips?
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. When it's with me, it depends on my mood that day. When I'm barbecuing, it's like art. It's mm-hmm. like my science. My food, you know, I don't measure any seasoning. I just go by feel. And when I'm cooking, I get in a state of mind that this is where I'm at. I want, because I have to take a child's palate and an adult palate and make them all meet in the middle and say everybody is happy. And that's a big range when you're talking about feeding children and adult and making everybody happy. You're playing with all those different taste palates. And that's what smoking, to me, does. You can't overpower. And then you need to understand what your smoke look like. Some people have dirty smoke coming out their grill.
What's dirty smoke?
It's a yellow, dark, like almost like a yellow crayon. Your perfect smoke is white with a little blue in it. You know what I mean? Some people use real wood with bark on it. Depends on where you get your wood from, how you put it up, how you let it dry out. Is it got dirt from somewhere? I don't know where. But you start seeing yellow smoke in your grill, you better open it up and let some more, like fire or BTUs get on it until it turn white and kind of have a blue tint to it. That's how you know you got clean smoke. So it's all science when you want to come to trying to, you want to be that professional at home, you better start studying your grill, because every time you cook, your grill will teach you something different.
Wow, LaTanya, that I guess I'm doing okay. I have never seen dirty smoke when I do it. It's always, I don't know about the blue tint, but I've always, my smoke was always white.
Right.
So now LaTanya says her go-to are the ribs. What's your favorite?
Ah, man, I got so many. My go-to is me and my wife's favorite is butterfly lobster tail and filet mignon. That's surf and turf.
Okay.
And
let me get your address.
Yeah, man. And then
he
my
has the big pockets.
Right. It ain't that. It's just, you know, I don't eat leftovers, man. I put the food in there.
How were you raised?
I'm telling you, I grew up poor, man.
Poor enough, yeah. Apparently.
Hey, look, man, I grew up poor, but I played, you know, professional basketball, man, and I ate new food every day. So I just got
to
have my food fresh. Hey, my buddies love to come over when I barbecue because they know they're going to take food home.
So, And here is my question, you know, for both of you, and I'm going to confess, growing up, all of the steak that I ate was always well done. Well, in my later refined life, I have discovered that well done is not. It's not well done. And, but, you know, what's your technique, LaTanya, for ribeyes? I do know that's supposed to be the go-to steak. For, you know, a medium rare steak. Kind of walk me through your process for that.
Well, medium well, I mean...
I said medium rare, not medium well.
Oh, medium rare.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, you like it rough. Okay. So,
yeah. He all by himself with that one.
I didn't say rare, as a medium rare.
Yeah, but I gotta be a little darkness on somewhere around here.
I like it crusty on the outside, pink on the inside.
Slightly pink, I can do
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Well, Reggie, I mean, with medium rare, what is it, 130, 140?
Yeah, I was going to say anywhere from between 130, 140, 43, mm-hmm. 42. It'll be pretty on the inside. I'm going to be 145, 150. 160, maybe pushing.
You mean the internal temperature?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because those temperatures, when you know, anybody that's out there just trying to learn how to cook, get that meat thermometer. It doesn't lie, and really, it will help you to determine how to cook that meat. And it's a lifesaver for me because brisket was the hardest thing. I've been doing it for 24 years, and I still haven't mastered cooking beef.
Brisket has a reputation for really being difficult.
Yeah, because there's no in-between. Either you make it or you don't make it, because you got a fatty piece of meat and a lean piece of meat, and you have to cook them together and bring them both together and make sure that they cook. So you're talking about on charcoal and wood, you're talking about an 18-hour process, sometimes 20, just to devour something that might take you 5 minutes. So... you know, it's technique to that. So.
Well, I'll tell you what my ribeye technique is, and you all can tell me how I'm doing here. So when, because I have a grill thermometer. It's not for the food, but it tells me the temperature of the internal temperature of the grill itself.
Right, right, right.
And I get it hot.
Right.
I mean, I get it really, really hot, almost like 500 degrees.
Ooh.
And I have my ribeye, you know, it's got a little seasoning on it, not a whole lot, but then I lift that grill up and I toss it on there, and I do between 3 and 4 minutes on one side, flip it over 3 or 4 minutes on the other side, and I don't move it.
Right.
I don't move it.
Right.
I don't have cross. Grill marks.
Right, right.
They're just straight lines.
Understood.
And then I bring it in, and like I said, it's crusty on the outside. It's a light pink on the inside, and it's melting your mouth. Okay, LaTanya, how am I doing?
Well, I'm asking you when you're gonna grill so I can come on over.
I was going to say, we don't want ribeyes, we want filet mignon.
I'll bring the side. Tell me what time and where you're located. It sounds like you're doing a good job.
I've been asking them about that for 2 years.
Is that what you...
Yeah.
So, LaTanya, what you're saying is you got a part-time job for me down at Lefty's.
There you go.
No, that's exactly right. That technique is exactly right. That's a good technique, you know, so... I'm pretty sure you're getting some great results from it.
Yeah, I'm trying to cut back on the red meat, but I think I might treat myself at sometime in the near future. Mm. So here's the other thing, and this is where I mess up, Reggie. I have those pans with the holes
right.
in them.
Right.
For vegetables, and they're really great because you it's hard to do asparagus on a regular grill. You'll lose it. Go right down.
Right.
It'll go right down through the slots.
Yeah.
But talk to me about fish. Let's take salmon for example.
That's an easy one.
Yeah. How do you keep it from sticking?
You know, those wood planks are pretty good. Soaking those wood planks, cooking your fish on the wood planks. If you use aluminum foil, you can put a little oil in the bottom, season it how you want to season it, and pretty much let it go. I do a lot of indirect. I try not to put my fish directly over fire because fish goes so fast if you have it on aluminum foil. There's a paper that I use to cook or wrap my brisket in, mm-hmm. and it's called peach paper or pink paper. It almost have a, it's like a parchment paper. It's almost like a, it's a tomato color. That paper is designed to hold in moisture. If meat tend to be a little bit juicy, don't let it leak out throughout, you know. So, but aluminum foil kind of, you know, seals up everything. Don't let nothing go. This paper kind of absorbs it a little bit. Don't let it leak. And I'm a big fan of this peach paper, or they call it pink paper, that I wrap some of my food with. And sometimes I'll take, you know, two or three sheets and wrap it up. And it's like keeping the heat off the surface, but taking the internal temperature and still letting it, you know, let it cook and get to the desired temp. So,
LaTanya, talk to me about chicken. I like to butterfly my whole chicken. I like to take the back out, break the breastbone, and spread it out. But is there a different technique between doing that and just having a whole chicken, you know, on the grill? Your thoughts about chicken?
Well, chicken, you can pretty much grill it any way. You know, you can have it in the wings, the thighs, the breast, all of it detached, or like you mentioned, having it butterfly. The main thing is making sure that your temp is at 165 when you take it off the grill.
That's correct.
That's the main thing. So once it's at 165, let it rest, and then you're good to go.
Mm.
And never, when you flip it over, you know, try not to just use tongs. Don't use a fork because, of course, the fork will, you know, get the juices out of it when you pierce the meat. But tongs are best.
Mm. And the thing that I've always been concerned about is when you do chicken, how do you make sure that it's not dry?
Yeah, that breast is the corporate, and I tend to, you know, I don't cook a lot of whole chickens like I used to. Take the beer can, set the chicken up. I pretty much cut my chicken into pieces. I do a lot of, my mother's side of the family is from the Caribbean, so we do a lot of jerk chicken.
Okay.
So the best pieces for me are wing and thigh. You get to that breast, it's so big. I don't know what they're making the chicken with these days. They're bigger than me and you. I tend to butterfly that breast. And if you really want to, get your chicken to where it needs to be and kind of be moist, butterfly that breast, man, and then, you know, kind of put little slits in it, man, and cook it and check it with that temperature gauge, because people tend to dry it out by not checking the temp, mm-hmm. and they overcook it. So that's when they reach. But I've had some, you know, great go-to chicken breasts, but mine's is a thigh and a wing more than anything, because I like that flavor. So,
speaking of flavor, and you were talking earlier, LaTanya, about Lefty's barbecue sauce and the like, and you said when you do your ribs, you don't put the sauce on them. Kind of walk us through that, because, you know, I've seen so many techniques where people start brushing it up, you know, sooner rather than later. What's your take on that?
Well, definitely, we had spoken about the making sure that you have a thermometer. We use the digital thermometers at the restaurant, and when you are ready, like I said, we don't use wet the method of wet ribs. We just put it on the side for the customer, or we don't cook it, in other words, on the grill. But when you do cook it, when you decide to cook it on the grill, again, just don't put it directly over the heat. Put it over indirectly from the heat. And typically, it's like before it's done, brushing it, using a brush with your meat, to brush your meat, and then covering it like around, maybe 4 or 5 minutes, and just checking it out. You got to play with it because, of course, everybody's temperature, equipment is different. and you know where how you want it so far as it's sticking to your meat. Mm-hmm. So, and main thing again is making sure that once it's done, having it to rest so you can have that juicy. All that goodness wrapped up into it.
Now, you can't forget about the goodness on your squirrel and possum.
wrong for that, man.
You got it.
So now, do you use marinades?
I tend not to. I had friends all around the world, and a lot of those guys are chefs, and they told me, which they probably shouldn't have. I think they was messing with me. Never, if you're a great cook or a great chef, you don't have to use marinades. Now, some marinades are great. I've brined some of my big meats before I cook them, like turkey, salt brines and all that. And it came out well. I can tell the difference. They told me, I guess it was a challenge. You should be able to season your meat right then and there without even letting it sit overnight and get the flavor into your protein. And I was like, wow. And I think they were doing that to see if I could just do it and do it on mini fast. And that's the way I cook today. I do a lot of my dry rubs on my ribs and I make them on the spot and I can put it on 5 minutes and let it, you know, wait a little bit. And the way the technique that I cook, the flavor comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm fortunate enough that it works for me. Now, somebody else might have a different technique, and I'm not saying the mine's is the best, but it works for me thus far. So, mm-hmm.
Do you, LaTonya, have some, I know we talked about a lot of do's, but for any barbecue dish, whether it is, whether it's, you know, vegetables, whether it's poultry or seafood or red meat, do you have any things that you really want people to know not to do?
When it comes to your meat, like, for example, we had mentioned about marinating or the day before that day or seasoning that day, whatever you choose to do, leave it in a refrigerator, you know, until you're ready for it, to put it on the grill. When you are ready for it, especially when you have, like, family gatherings, you know, I know at my house, you know, we talk a lot, and I don't, of course, but other
folks. She said she doesn't.
You know, we talk a lot, and then we start talking about what JoJo did after he drank that brown liquor, and he, you know, and if you can't have that meat sitting out because, of course, you don't want it in that danger zone. The danger zone for us is, what, 41 to 140. And, of course, that's when you get foodborne illnesses from that. So you want to make sure that you're aware of when you've taken it out the refrigerator, whatever it is, if it's seafood, you know, pork, beef, letting it sit for a few minutes. When I say a few minutes, maybe 20 to 30 minutes, because you don't want to put cold food directly on a grill because it will char the food quickly.
Mm.
So just making sure that, you know, you're aware of it, because it's real, you know, so far as foodborne illnesses. You got to make sure that you wash your hands, even when you're wearing gloves. You got to make sure that you change them on a regular basis.
Reggie's nodding his head. Your thoughts about that, Reggie?
Yeah, no doubt. I'm real big on, you know, foodborne illness, and I got to eat off my own grill, and I got to feed my family off my own grill. So my technique, as far as breaking down my grills and cleaning my grill, or putting food or taking food out the fridge and to the grill, I'm very, very adamant about that time. It's my responsibility as the cook or the chef to make sure that everybody goes home and have a pleasant time, or my kid or my wife to wake up the next morning and they're okay, because I've seen people with food poison. It's no joke.
Yeah.
There's no cure for it. The doctor can't help you. So, you know, don't be a lazy cook. Don't be a lazy guy not cleaning your grill. Don't be lazy or nothing. Within doubt, if you think you did something wrong, throw it away and start over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess the only thing you want your family to get is the itis.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't play with it, man.
See, LaTonya wasn't ready today.
I can tell. I hear you.
She wasn't ready.
And I think the other thing when you talk about, just the overall, experience. I guess that. What are your absolute don'ts when it comes to cooking? So let's take hamburgers. I mean, that's simple.
Right.
But sometimes people just can't get it together. They fall apart.
Right.
Or they're dry.
Right.
My
new thing now, and everybody can look it up, because I used to be my. I guess I don't have the best hands for making a hamburger patty. But my new thing is smash burgers now.
What is smash burgers?
You need to check it out. Look it up. I went out and got me a Blackstone grill. Blackstone need to pay me for saying this. Mm-hmm. Blackstone grill. And it's a flat top. And you take 27 kilograms of meat. Look like a little meatball. And you take this device, this round, and a piece of parchment paper, get that grill hot, smash it. It's like the old White Castle burger
okay. They
had up north, real thin, with some grilled onions.
And they're kind of crispy.
Oh, crispy on both sides. It mm-hmm. takes every bit of, I want to say, 45 seconds to make the burger. You got great taste. You don't have all that meat inside your abdomen. It's easy for your body to process. You got onions. You got cheese. And I do a little extra. I throw some shredded hash browns and a fried egg on top of my smash burgers, and you got some. So, because I couldn't get the hamburger right. That big old burger and all that meat that you get from, it's just too much. And as I got older now, I get full fast.
Yeah.
Everybody laugh at me. Reggie, you can't eat. Nah, I can eat, but my body just rejects. I don't need that. Mm-hmm. So now the new thing is smash burgers, and my wife love them. So anything that my wife love, I'm good.
How about that? What do you think about that, LaTanya, about the smash burger?
Smash burgers, right. I mean, honestly, this is the first time I've heard it, and I'm definitely looking it up once I get off the phone. But I just want to let, if folks are out there making their own burgers, definitely when you cook them on the grill, this is one of my pet peeves. Do not smash the
That's
burger
true.
With the smash
Yeah, you're letting all the juice out. It's just
exactly, exactly. Do not do that. Leave those juices, all that goodness in that burger. So when you eat it, when it rests, when you eat it, oh my goodness, you are just good to go. So
where did that come from? Because, Tanya, my mother used to do that.
I'm going to tell you why. Because that protein would tighten up as the heat hit it, and they want to smash it for it to fit on the bun. You start off with a patty. We don't know how to make them correct. I just told you guys, hey, I had a problem with that. And what happens, you think you're making it the correct size, and it doesn't stay that size when you're cooking it. It shrivels up. It starts shrinking. And then what people want to do, I want it to fit on the bun nicely. So they smash it. Just bad habit, bad technique. Mm-hmm. But nobody knew that the burger was going to dry out and they're knocking the juices out. Make the burger bigger. It'll shrink up to the desired size.
Have either one of you grilled fruit?
Yes, peaches.
You're the best. What's the best technique for doing peaches?
Do you take a peach? Because peach got sugar in it, tons of sugar. And all you got to do is sear it. Pineapple, same thing. Pineapple would get a crust on it. But that peach would taste like a dessert. Just sear it, and man, it's the best dessert in the world. Put you some vanilla ice cream, have it come off the grill right on the side of the peach. Mm.
So I'm going to give you all my grilled peach recipe. you just have to name it Harold's recipe, LaTanya and Reggie,
okay. When
you put it on because I like grilling some pound cake. Okay, grill some pound cake.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, done pound cake.
Okay.
Whether you make it or you buy it, whatever. Mm-hmm. You grill your pound cake, but you grill your peach, when you put it upside mm-hmm. down, you mm-hmm. get some marks on it. Mm-hmm. But then when you flip your peach over, you put a little cinnamon and chili powder on the peach. Not cayenne.
When you go open your barbecue restaurant, man, you playing around.
I got it.
You said this 2 years ago. You need to do it. Everything you talk about me, we need an invite.
I'm
gonna talk to the producers. You gotta invite me over.
But so then you have your peach, like I said, chili powder, not cayenne. I believe, and this is just my rule, chili is sweet, cayenne is savory.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So, you know, chili, if you're going to spice up your dessert, you use chili powder. The chili powder, a little cinnamon, the peach is already sweet.
Nice.
You put it, you know, you may want to cut it up afterwards, put it on top of the pound cake, and just slide. Not scoop, you want to slide the vanilla ice cream.
Wow.
And then, of course, you take your chocolate syrup, the real stuff,
mm-hmm.
and you drizzle.
Man.
Come on now.
Man, I've never had that.
Harold, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Because we do have a grilled strawberry pound cake at the restaurant.
Ooh, sounds
when
good.
When you grill your pound cake, and look, I'm asking the questions now.
Right.
When you grill your pound cake, do you, like, baste it with butter, or do you use, like, a cooking spray? How do you do that?
I like spray because I'm not a big butter fan. I know some people like butter, the taste
right,
of butter.
Right.
I'm not a big dairy. I mean, milkshakes, ice creams, yes.
Okay.
But you know, you're not going to see me put butter on toast. Not my thing. But you know, the cooking spray keeps it neutral.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It just keeps it neutral. So, and that's all I got for you. I'll get a check from both of you all later. But look,
I'm gonna steal that recipe.
I know. No, I'm just kidding.
Go ahead
and steal it.
Man, that's awesome, boy. Yeah, I'm
yes,
gonna try
indeed.
Though.
And don't forget, you gotta slide the ice cream, boy. Latonya, you gotta drizzle it. Come on
right,
now.
I would you.
Boy, I tell you, look, Latonya Holland, Reggie Jones, thank you both so much. I'm gonna put the links to both of your websites on, and look. Have a safe holiday weekend, both of you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Well, you too, Reggie.
Nice to meet you.
That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, May 25th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.